And good morning. Welcome back. The time is 9:06. Overcast skies. Temperature, let me update it. Up a degree. 27 degrees. Ooh. Here at the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street in downtown Wausau. Hour number two, the Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Very happy to welcome back for our monthly visit the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg.
My friend.
Madam Mayor.
You have definitely yelled during the Packers games a little bit too much. Now that I have the earmuffs on, I can hear it. A little raspy. You should think about narrating things.
I tell you, it's like I can one of those film noirs.
Yeah,
you know?
I might be listening to that. I'm feeling
do
it.
Do radio dramas.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Radio dramas. We need
I know
some good
it's not
radio
what you're
dramas.
Used to, but.
I know.
It's fun.
I tell you, just the start of 2024 has been a little rough in that respect. And it's just, I tell you, and you were talking, it goes around the community as well. And it's an interesting time because obviously you're in the midst of a campaign, so you're talking to a lot of people. And you probably know as well as anybody what's going on in terms of just how people are feeling.
Yeah, and I know how people are feeling, but we also have like strong data. I don't know if everybody still knows this, but we're monitoring our wastewater for COVID, for RSV, for flu, for polio, for a variety of things. And COVID sure is spiked after the holiday, so just be aware.
Craziness, right? But let's kind of jump in. Let's start with you're still doing the job. I mean, that's
the majority
exactly
of what I'm doing.
I mean, this
my
you
Saturdays and Sundays are train wrecks, but yeah,
we got a council meeting tonight.
Yes, we do,
and obviously, and that's the thing. I mean, how do you respond to it? Because, I mean, it feels like these headlines are coming out, you know, and another big story, and now we're talking about, big headline yesterday. Yeah. As something that I find very interesting with elected officials, and I've read a lot of history as well. I love political history. And then you'll sometimes read about politicians who try to put on a brave face in public, but they rail against everybody in the back. You come in, you say, well, it's the way it is. It is. You have to deal with it. How do you look at this where something comes out where you think, well, I mean, I have more information than what I'm reading or along those lines?
Well, yeah, and this is one of those scenarios where I actually don't have more information than what I'm reading, right? If this were something that were serious, and of course we're talking about the lead pipe service.
Thank you service for doing it. You said it. You've been in this business to explain what we're talking about.
I'm not going to tell people that we're talking about something and not tell them what it is. The lead pipe service program, our $5 million year one program, and there are some questions about the company we are working with on this, our community infrastructure partners. So in my estimation, if this were a concern, I think we would have heard about it before 4 o'clock on Friday when the agenda came out. And so that's my concern number one, is that what are we doing here? I still don't have the details on why we need to reconsider this. I haven't heard from the alder. I read the letter to the editor from an alder, but you know, nobody has said anything or shared anything with the council except for community infrastructure's partner, who responded to all the lines in the letter, because that's all we have to go on. So I don't know what to expect. I go into this with a clear mind and a strong heart, of course, and I think what we're doing is right. I will, of course, listen to what folks have to say, but I don't think it's right for the community or for the council to be governed through letters to the editor and kind of misleading headlines. I don't think that's fair.
What is your opinion, and again, you talk about maybe misleading, about the connection between the CIP and then this Corvallis?
Yeah.
And some of the examples listed would be concerning. What's your take on those?
So, you know, I did know there was a previous connection with this company. The principal worked there, and so did a couple other folks in this company. When asked, I said, hey, what's up with this? He said, yeah, we left. We didn't like it. we left to start our own program because we believe in this process and we know that we can do it better, but we don't want to be beholden to an organization that we don't necessarily agree with. So I think it's fair to ask those questions. And it would have been nice if there was an opportunity to ask those questions instead of write a letter to the editor.
Process, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing.
Well, we've gone through, you've seen us struggle with this.
Right.
We go through the process as we've understood it to be, and then the council's mad, or somebody on the council's mad about the process, and they want to relitigate it because we can't read their minds. I have shown over and over that we're willing to do a process that they would like to do. Just tell me what you want.
What about the aspect of going to the media? Is that something that bothers you at all?
I mean, everyone has a right to free speech and to do whatever they want. Do I think it's an effective way to cultivate relationships with your government, your council? No, it's not. I think, truly, if it were me, I would share my concerns with someone other than just a letter to the editor. And again, like, we've seen this over and over. Sometimes it's easier to do that for people, and I would rather do the harder work of trying to cultivate relationships with people.
And let's take a step back to the entire issue. Again, let's take the right back, the whole lead pipe issue. Again, why is this something that, again...
It's a neurotoxin. Get it out of the freaking water.
And number one, why in terms of that? And also in terms of how quickly you do it. Again, there's been that kind of talk as well. Again, for the folks out there, your perspective on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason we're going so crazy right now is because there is bipartisan infrastructure funding available right now. It is available right now. We anticipate it's available, you know, based on the federal guidelines for the next 5 years. So we got to get it done. So we got to push hard to get more money than we think we can get, because we got to get this work done. And we would like our taxpayers, our ratepayers, to not have to pay for the majority of that. I think that's the big thing, is the money's available now. We can capitalize on it now. We're still going to have to replace our lead service lines. The EPA's new standard is we got to fix it all in 10 years. So let's go and get it done and use their money to do it.
And that's something you've been talking about quite a bit over the past year when you've been coming in here, is that the amount of time and the amount of effort that you're trying to find this money, whether it's through the Infrastructure Act or whether it's through grants or anything else, that's vitally important in terms. And I think that when we talk about water rates and everything else, that needs to be underlined, that you're doing all these, you know,
we have to,
everything that you possibly can to try to bring in as much of that money in order to lessen the blow ultimately.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, we started this journey with PFAS, and even before that and before me, we started this journey with this new drinking water treatment facility. We knew it was going to cost a lot of money. We knew the ratepayers were going to be handling that, and that was just part of the way this is funded. And it sucks to have to pay more money on literally everything we do now, and especially with the water rates. It's a heavy lift, and I completely understand why people would be upset. But here's the thing, we got to get it done. And if there's an opportunity for us to capitalize on funding available to maybe pay off debt earlier, maybe reconsider what those rates actually look like so that we can take them down. I don't know if that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. We haven't even had a full year of our new rates to analyze to see if it's covering the cost that we needed to do. So again, like, I know we're upset. I know that we're in silly season. I know that everyone has an opinion on everything, mm-hmm. and whether or not we should expose our neighbors to lead, to PFAS, to whatever else. I got to tell you, I'm doing what I think is right based on the rules we have, based on the funding we have available, based on like the ability I have to not sleep and not eat and just talk and try and get more money for this community. So far, it's been fruitful. We've got tens of millions of dollars funneled right to our community to pay for projects like this. I know it's not enough, which is why we keep going.
There also seemed to be in recent weeks the thought of some sort of, I don't know if I'm putting it correctly, but some sort of secret increase coming soon.
Yeah, it's not possible. There can be no secret increases. It is all public. It is, you know, that is a process set forth by the Public Service Commission. And you have to know if that is a consideration. It will be on a utility agenda. It will be on the council for discussion because, oh man, have they told me they want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. It will be public. There's no application in the works. We don't have the analysis on our year one of numbers with our new facility and our new rates. So I just, people need to relax. I think questions are great, but you know, don't get whipped up to into a frenzy during silly season. And I know we are in for one heck of a year this year. I mean, it's going to be all year round, even beyond this one race.
And I think it's important to underline that there is a process that has to be done.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a one step where all of a sudden something happens, correct?
Well, during the last rate increase, you know, we publicized it. We had a public hearing. We had a virtual public hearing. The PSC holds their public hearing. So there were ample opportunities for people to weigh in. I think there were fewer than 20, but somewhere around there, folks who wrote in with their concerns. And a lot of, I read them all. I read every single concern. And mostly it said, I don't want to pay this much for water. I understand that we got to take care of PFAS or whatever. So, you know, people are, that is where they're at. I don't think they are as extreme to one side or the other as maybe others are making it out to be. But, you know, people get it. There's a problem. And if you look around to our other communities, you're seeing their rates are increasing too. And I know it feels personal because the bill comes to you, but we're seeing it across the board in Marathon County. You're seeing it across the board in our state. There's a lot of problems with our old infrastructure that we all got to fix.
Isn't that interesting? That really gets to the heart of the matter,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Old infrastructure. We've neglected this for decades. And, you know, thinking about the last recession and, you know, all of the funding from the federal government kind of went, it didn't go to local governments to make these decisions. It, you know, the federal government decided, or, you know, maybe it went to private companies. And they thought, you know, that didn't quite work the way we wanted it to. You know who ended up getting recovery? So we want this recovery, bottom up, middle out, all of that. And so that's what we're trying to do here, too.
It was interesting. Yesterday, I had John Robinson on.
Oh.
And we were talking about, and I asked him about infrastructure because, you know, counties deal with roads and stuff.
He is your historian.
I mean, he knows it all. But the interesting thing is I asked him, how about that bill, whether or not it was a, he said it was a good thing, but it was only part of the way because we're so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still way behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you hear like the $1.9 trillion in spending that the Biden administration has put forth through this stuff. You know, it sounds like a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot.
Right.
But, you know, when you divvy it up to our nation and what we need to address, it's not going to cover everything. And that's the other thing. It's going to be some skin in the game from the communities that are willing to use this opportunity.
We're going to take a one-minute timeout and then come back.
60 seconds.
Let's more go. With Katie Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I want to kind of give a talk about a philosophical question. Because, well,
you know that's my jam, man.
I know. Because I was talking to Kreitlow on his show earlier today. And talking about public-private partnerships. And we've talked about this. And there have been some that are better and I think some that are harder.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about where we are? Because this is not just a WASA thing. This is kind of the way things are. Governments really can't maybe bite off as much as they used to. I get a little frustrated.
What if we were Germany, maybe?
maybe. But as you obviously are right in the middle of all this, where when you have a significant project, you kind of have to look for aspects where the public can be involved, but you also have to bring in these private folks. Can you tell me where we are as a society, maybe, in terms of how well does it work? Because I think I may be a little further, I'll call it the left, than a lot of people when it comes to this this kind of issue, because I kind of think that, again, you and other members of city government or county government or state government or federal government have different priorities when it comes to a major project than, say, for an example, Terrence Wall or somebody like that.
Sure.
I know that, and I'm not asking you to either, you know, trash anybody or anything like that, but Is this the best way to go about things, in your opinion?
Well, so I think I'm going to answer that in a variety of ways, and so you're going to have to interrupt me if you want to say anything.
No, that's fine.
So on the one hand, I completely understand what you're saying. When you go into a partnership for development and your partner is in it to make money and make a profit for shareholders, whatever, I get it. You would question that, right? Like, you don't know if they're in it for the same reasons, or you know that you're not, right? We're in it because we need housing. They're in it because, well, housing is what gets them their profit, right?
Right.
Okay. So there's that, you know, and then when I look at this other program that we're talking about, Lead Service Lines, that's a public-private partnership, but it's a community-based public-private partnership. So we went out there and we were talking to H2N. We're talking to the Mumming American Center. We're talking to the county. We're talking to the Joyce Foundation. We're talking to the Medical College of Wisconsin. So that community base, we're bringing that into. And it's not about making a profit. It's about fixing the problem and making sure that our community understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I think when you talk about, you know, your straightforward public-private partnership, it's one of those things we got to do. I mean, we can't pay for everything. We need investments from others. And that's where this compromise comes in. That isn't always it sucks sometimes, right? Like, you're giving away stuff you don't want to give away. But you're also getting something that you couldn't do on your own. The community-based, we have a lot more control over that. Our community knows us. Our community is part of us. Our community is giving us direction. And so that's the opportunity here to make sure that we're doing what's best for our community. And I feel like that's what makes this different. I think that's the direction that these public-private partnerships need to go. It needs to be community-based.
Okay.
Fully.
How difficult is it to find the partners as well? Because one of the aspects that I kind of notice is when you bring it open to bid, sometimes in this case you get one bid. Is that a major issue in some of these projects?
Yeah, it's still, you know, despite the fact that, you know, the EPA basically invented the model in like the 90s, it's still not highly used everywhere. So this isn't the model that has been growing up in the system, right? This isn't what they've done. And so I think there were a couple of others that reached out to us specifically about this, and they asked some questions, and, you know, they did have what it took to do it, but they were like, I don't know. It feels like you're asking for a lot of engagement from other, you know, stuff like that. They want to be involved still. So they want, even the people who decided not to bid on it are like, I'd like to get involved in this somehow too. So, you know, we're funneling that too. I think it's hard. It's hard right now. We're asking people to do something different and innovative, and maybe in a way they haven't done it before. And instead of them just having to deal with government, which makes a lot of folks groan, they got to deal with our partners too, which, you know, have good intentions. And it's going to just be one of those projects.
What have you learned in these, you know, this first term in that realm? Because obviously there have been issues, and you've had to work hard with your partners and make sure that everybody is aware of certain issues. You have to work as well with the council and work with you know, others as well. What have you found out in these situations? Because as you talk about, this is going to happen again, I imagine.
Yeah.
What have you found out maybe that we can make it work better in the future?
Well, I think one of the things that needs to happen, first of all, is that, you know, when you are working together as part of an elected body, like, your intentions, I mean, to make it work real great, your intentions should be good, right? Like, start with that. You want to help the people.
Right.
I think we all agreed with the principles of our strategic plan that we want to make sure that we're helping people, and here are the ways we're going to do it. I think the other thing is having a debate in public, in open, is important to have it in the right place. Asking people to respond to media inquiries or letters is really hard. You know, there are people commenting on Facebook that could be creating a quorum, and that's something I'm concerned about. So I specifically don't go looking for stuff like that. I'm not going to be a part of creating a walking quorum on social media. Absolutely not. And so I worry about that. I worry in general about how we're talking to each other as a society. People are mad about everything. You know, it's not just like, you know, you hear people, oh, this Karen and that. It's everyone. We are all impatient. We're all kind of upset. We don't feel like we're living our best lives. You know, we're promised this American dream, and what are we doing? You know, we feel, even the way the stories are written, you're imposing this on it instead of, like, we're helping lift everyone up. And so it's not even just marketing. It's just, like, how are we interpreting this? We're in a very negative place.
Isn't it interesting, and as we go into this election year, that the whole way that we look at what is successful is so different now than I think it's ever been before, because when you look at some of the numbers based on unemployment and economic growth,
that is something to crow about.
But the thing about it is those numbers usually would lead to landslide wins. But there was a story that I read over the weekend talking about the differences that we have are not really policy differences anymore. It's basically we just tend to hate the other side. That sometimes that the policies really are the least of the concerns. And as somebody that deals with policy, I imagine that makes it much more difficult.
Yeah, it is hard. And, you know, you do notice when there's like an actual hatred in the room instead of just a disagreement. You know, and I remember, you know, when Dave Obey was leaving Congress, one of the things that he lamented quite a few things. But, you know, one of the things he lamented was the fact that, you know, because there was this big push for members to be back in their district every weekend, and we don't live in D.C., we're not creatures of D.C., right. They weren't talking to each other in a natural way. Their families weren't going to school together. They weren't having dinner parties. He wasn't, you know, having a little drink with somebody, you know, that maybe they disagreed on something, but they could talk about some things. So, you know, that's part of it. We are not reaching outside of ourselves to have those conversations unless we know that, like, they align exactly with us. And, you know, that does create problems for communication and also, like, establishing community priorities. It politicizes everything.
I want to kind of build on that because as a mayor, as a political leader, you're in the midst of it. I want to kind of build on that. And if are there ways are we can, even if it's a small step, because you can't build Rome in a day. I think right now, I think during this time where voters are thinking about what the future should be, I think it's something to maybe briefly delve into. We'll see if I can put it in a proper context after we have a news update.
I was like, is this music for me or is it for you?
Time for a news update, right, and then more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg coming up.
And all the music today.
I tell you, it's from my youth.
I love it.
We're talking about, you know, I said I wouldn't want to be 18 these days. I liked it because in the 80s, I grew up, and I think, and again, I think it's just
natural. Nobody kept those notes that you passed.
But isn't it natural that, for whatever reason, whatever that era was, you still think that was the best?
Yeah, we call that rosy retrospective.
You're exactly right. I wanted to kind of build on what you were saying right before the break, because.
Yeah, let's go.
Sometimes I get into these rabbit holes of philosophy as opposed to specific issues. We'll get to some specific issues here in a few moments, but you said it that you see people that are upset and angry. We see that not just, you know, here but throughout the country. As somebody involved in public service and in being a leader in the community, do you have any ideas on how we can even take a small step forward?
Yeah.
Are there ways? Because I mean, it's a complicated thing because, as I said, I think that the metrics that we used to think about in terms of where we are, if we're in good times or bad times, because I was saying to somebody recently, if you're somebody who thinks that we're in the worst times, that things are terrible, just wait, because we have cycles. Yeah. And we're gonna find ourselves in another difficult cycle at some point. But as somebody who talks to people, who works with other elected officials, who has to go to the voters, any thoughts on maybe ways that we can take maybe even a small step away from this pattern we've seen over the past, I would say, 8 years.
Right, 8 years. Maybe even before that, thinking through like the history of modern media, right?
You're right.
Because, I mean, there are actually studies done on people who watch certain types and styles. It doesn't matter across the spectrum of politics, but watching, you know, very angry, combative people and getting your news in that fashion turns you mad and angry. I mean, that is what's happening. Where you get your information does matter. And if the person who's telling you all this information is always yelling, I mean, that should be a sign that, like, maybe I need to branch out and find some other media. So I think, first of all, who you get your information from is important. And that's because they have an agenda. Okay. I think, you know, we were just talking about how important it is that our public institutions are properly funded, because in a lot of ways, they have been the proving grounds for these community dialogues that have been helpful. When I think about the partners we've had, you know, even when we held that anti-Semitism kind of discussion, that was the university who said, yeah, we'll be a part of this. We'll let you use use our space. We'll let you use our resources. We need more of that, not less. And, you know, you're seeing the just constant defunding of these public institutions in a way that's damaging to our local communities and larger. So we need to figure out how to continue having robust dialogues. And you don't have to get along with them. Let's have people disagree. But let's talk about disagreeing in the right way. Oh, you're going to cough. So why don't I keep rambling?
I'm ready now.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, I get it.
Something you just said there, you talk about more and less. And I think that's one of the disagreements a lot of people have, that I think even within yourself in this term, that you bring out a lot of more when it comes to discussion of anti-Semitism and other, I would say, very important issues that we've seen bubble up.
Yeah.
Others say that we would tone things down if we had less of that. Could you explain to people why you think more is better in terms of actually in the big picture, making us more calm and more together as a community?
I think it's about how you have that discussion, right? Like, you know, we were confronted with somebody who basically whipped out a bullhorn on our 400 block and started screaming anti-Semitic screeds all summer, okay? Right. That is a terrible way for anyone to get their message across, but that message especially sucks. And so my thought is, like, we're not going to engage like that. Sure, I could go over there with my own bullhorn and start screaming back. What does that do? I would rather bring in people who understand this issue, who understand what's happening in that it's being increased, this dialogue's happening, and also give people some ideas on how to combat it. Like, how do I, if I see this happening, what am I supposed to do? So I think that's what we need to do more of, thoughtful dialogue instead of screaming at each other.
Do you think that in the last, you know, you talked about, like, last summer that was?
Who knows?
I mean, it's like.
It was last summer.
Yeah. Do you think that we're going in the right direction on issues such as anti-Semitism? Because I do still worry about that. And just the whole idea of the hatred of other, you know, and
othering.
Yeah. And again, that's not just a central Wisconsin thing. I mean, in Europe, it's horrible. And throughout the world, it's horrible. Have these discussions, in your opinion, helped? Have you felt any change?
It's helped kind of give people an opportunity to understand what they can do, right? Like, what do I do when I hear this? Where do I report it? But I think the other thing is, you know, you're seeing how kind of the national and international policies are intersecting with local discussions of how things happen, right? I mean, this stuff in Israel, this stuff in Palestine is awful. I mean, nobody can look at what's happening there and say this isn't a humanitarian crisis for everyone.
Right.
It is horrifying and awful. And so we're seeing this. It's in our faces. It's on TikTok. It's everywhere. And we want to blame somebody for that. We want to blame somebody for all of that. So is it going to be the policymakers? Is it going to be, you know, the other foreign governments? Is it going to be the anti-Semites? Is it going to be, you know, the anti-Arabic, you know, Islamophobia? The truth is, it's all of us. We are all responsible for our reactions to this and how we're interpreting this and how we're talking about it. So, I mean, that's our opportunity to be more thoughtful and think about, how can I lend my voice to a productive end to this war?
Isn't it interesting? Again, sort of a historical point. Whenever there is time of war, it tends to pull back liberty. It pulls back, I think, freedom. It pulls forward hatred of certain groups. It historically, it always happens.
Yeah.
And again, I think,
you know, in anthropology, you know, you call it like tribalism and things like that. You know, you do see where you stand with the people you know better, or you feel like you identify with more, when the reality is, like, we are all humans on this planet. We are all, you know, Carl Sagan. I know that I'm an optimist and a crazy person sometimes, but we are all stardust. I mean, the magic of evolution bringing us to this point. We should all be celebrating the fact that we're alive, and yet here we are fighting our dumb little wars about ideas that we don't need to.
Right. Let's get back to local.
Sorry.
No.
We're stardust, man.
That was my... you talk about going from the widest range. Tonight there's a...
Indeed.
Council meeting.
We do have council.
What else is on the agenda? So it's for folks, because I think sometimes, especially with myself, I start to get on tangents. Let's go specifically. What is on the agenda tonight?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a rather large consent agenda with a variety of things that came from Plan and CISM, Capital Improvement and Street Maintenance Committee. We really know how to name things. But I think, you know, I put a memo together, and that's at the top, actually, of the agenda. And it's about the Utility Commission because, you know, we've heard kind of stray calls to, you know, abolish it, to change it, to put new people on there. And, you know, that always comes out in a way that it's not at a moment where we can make any action on this. It's just a random call for something. So I wanted to start the discussion again since I'm hearing it again. So I gave a couple options, and, you know, since then I've thought about a couple more. I want to know what this council wants to do with this Utility Commission. Do they want a say in everything? Do they want a say in some things? Do they want the commission to be there? Do they want to appoint different people? Who are we looking for? So that's what we're doing there tonight. And they're going to tell me, where do we want to have this? Do we want to have a committee of the whole meeting? So I'm hopeful, you know, I don't know. They do this different ways everywhere across the nation. I was talking to the mayor of Colorado Springs. And I was like, how do you deal with your Utility Commission? And he said, you know, it's a separate governing body, but the entire city council makes up the Utility Commission.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, that's a way to make sure everyone has a say. So
isn't it interesting? And again, you talk about leadership, and sometimes I think a mayor wants to have their fingers on everything.
Oh.
And the idea that you are bringing, hey, what do you guys want to do?
Well, I think that's ultimately it. Like, the power lies with the council.
Yeah.
I mean, the policy body gets to make the policy. If you want me to make the policy, I'll do it. Absolutely. I love that. That is my jam. And I'll present it to you. But I also don't want to waste my time, okay? If I'm going to present something to you and you're just going to hate on it, tell me what you want. We want to do what's right for the community. And if these alders are very close to the members of their community, well, let's hear it. I want that too.
You know, being close to the community. Mm-hmm. And you're saying you're spending your weekends talking to the folks.
A lot of fun.
Doing a little political stuff. What are you hearing? Do you hear more about what you've done in the past? Or do you hear about what you want to do in the future when it comes to folks when you're talking about this election?
Yeah, so I hear a lot, a mix of both, but I think it's largely, I mean, truly, it's what's affecting people right now. Mm. It is water. 100% it's water. We are talking about it. So, you know, that's why it's so critical. We continue talking about it. People want to know, like, what does this mean? Why is it this way? And, you know, I could be like, here, check out this meeting from a year ago where we actually discussed this, or I can just go ahead and create some graphics and share that. And so that's what we're working on now. People are saying they want more information, even though I might know it inside and out. And as you know, I can blabber on about it. But, you know, that's what people want. They want a quick hit. They want to understand it. I think when you approach somebody in their home, they're curious more than anything. They're also like, oh, you knock on doors yourself, huh? It's like, well, who else is going to do it?
It's interesting to hear you talk again, say, about the water issue.
Yeah.
You're very comfortable with your actions, aren't you?
I have to be. If I'm not, we wouldn't be talking about it because I wouldn't do it. I promise you, I only do what I think is right. So I don't know what else to say.
And the results, have they been what you expected?
It's a lot slower. You know, I wish that we could have come to a conclusion on PFAS a lot faster. Now, that being said, I went to U.S. Conference of Mayors last week. And of course, like, I'm the annoying one that is very focused on specific issues. And when I talk about the actions we took in Wausau to address PFAS, everyone's like, you got that done in a year? It's fast. It's fast by government time. And so I need to keep that in my head, too, that, you know, it feels slow and it feels like a slog, but we're doing things a lot faster than other communities have been able to. And that's why we also need to continue racing to find more money. You know, you didn't ask about this, but, you know, Senate Bill 312 is now introduced into the Assembly, and that's the bill that governs how the trust fund for PFAS is delegated to communities.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of finagling happening right now, lots of behind-the-scenes conversations, lots of people dueling press conferences, press releases. And, you know, that's one of those things where I kind of, at one point, maybe last week, I threw my hands up and I said, you people get together in a room, talk about this. I am done. I will not be your political bargaining chip. I'm not putting my name on anything. Go get her done, and then we'll talk. Anyway, that's
little
my rage.
Little, and what's going to happen? Do you think that's going to help?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it got introduced into exec, and, you know, there's a couple places where there's so much opportunity to compromise. And truly, when I'm talking to the people who are having these conversations, I'm telling them, you know, I understand what you're saying, but is sticking it to the regulatory body the right thing?
Right.
Is making my community wait 10 more years to access this funding appropriate? Do you want to have people that are willing to act in the face of an environmental issue? Or do you want them to slow walk it just the way we've done for the last 100 years? Is that what you want? I don't want that. So
isn't it interesting? Again, I think that when you talk about the action you've taken on PFAS and other issues as well, that sometimes you get more pushback because you're doing something.
Oh, I tell
you, it's like, and that's historical in this country as well. Or I think some of the most popular folks are the ones that just sort of maintain things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I sat on county board where like no less than 3 people called themselves Mr. No. You know, like that's just the thing. They're going to vote against everything. And, you know, you have that in every level of government, and your neighbors might be some of those people too. What do you do? I'm not going to be a no. I'm going to ask you what your problem is, and then I'm going to try and fix it.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg, thank you for coming in.
Yes.
Always appreciate it. We'll talk again next month.
Transit Equity Day is coming up on February 5th. Ride the bus.
There you go. And enjoy the meeting tonight.
Oh, I will.
Enjoy the campaigning.
Heck yeah.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg, the time is 9:49. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to Mayor Katie Rosenberg for joining us. Of course, we had a couple of weeks ago, Doug Denny, one of the other candidates as well for the mayor's race. And again, for folks in Wausau, study these issues. Listen to the candidates. Democracy is the biggest thing. And one aspect of AI that I really worry about is having some sort of technology start to take away a lot of the thinking. Can't let that happen. You have to make sure that you're doing your thinking and making sure that you are staying on top of these issues, because the only way democracy works is if you are totally involved in making smart decisions for your community. Today, it is January the 23rd of 2024. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1845. Congress decided all national elections would be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So it will never be November 1st. The earliest would be November 2nd, because it has to be the first Tuesday after the first Monday. On this date in 1849, English-born Elizabeth Blackwell became the first woman in America to receive a medical degree from the Medical Institution of Geneva, New York. On this date in 1986, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted its first members, Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley. On this date in 2007, a new rule requiring U.S. airline passengers to show a passport upon their return from Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean took effect. On this date in 2013, the U.S. Armed Forces overturned a 1994 ban on women serving in combat. On this date in 2018, 12 camels were disqualified from the King Abdulaziz Camel Beauty Contest in Saudi Arabia after their owners used Botox on their lips.
Jeez.
And on this date in 2020, the voice of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian priest was recreated by scientists by 3D printing his vocal tract. So those are a few of the famous events, or maybe infamous events, that occurred on this date in history. Some famous folks celebrating their birthdays today. Richard Dean Anderson, star of MacGyver, the original MacGyver, 74 years old today. Actor Gail O'Grady from American Dreams and NYPD Blue is 61. Actor Mariska Hargitay of Law & Order Special Victims Unit is 60. CBS Evening News anchor Nora O'Donnell is 50. Also turning 50, Beverly Hills 90210 actor and Saved by the Bell actor Tiffany Thiessen. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Measure Your Feet Day. I don't know why it's Measure Your Feet Day, but it is. It is National Handwriting Day. It is Pie Day. It is Rhubarb Pie Day.
That sounds good.
Speak Up and Succeed Day. So, special events being celebrated today. Are you ready?
Yes, I am. I'm ready for the number of the day.
Our number for the day. I'm going to make this multiple choice for you.
Okay.
Give you a more than fair opportunity here.
Okay.
Our number for the day is the number of reservations in Glacier National Park in 2023.
Okay.
And I'll give you three different numbers to decide. 257,300. 180,832. 135,086. So again, those are the three choices. 257,300. 180,832. 135,086. Which was the correct number, A, B, or C? We'll make it A, B, and C. Let's make it easier because those are hard to remember.
Glacier National Park.
In 2023.
For last year. I would have to say, I don't know how big the park is, but I would have to say, let's go with A.
257,300.
Yes.
I am happy to announce you are correct.
Yes, I got one right.
You got one right.
Nice.
How about that? Where's the bells and the whistles? But that is our number for the day, 257,300. The number of reservations in Glacier National Park
Very cool.
2023. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks to Mayor Katie Rosenberg for joining us. Also, make sure you tune in tonight at 7 o'clock. High school girls basketball, Wausau West at Merrill. We'll have it for you right here on Bull Falls Radio. And don't forget, coming up next from 10 until noon, it is Matt and Air on Air. Then after that, from noon until 2, the Todd Alba Show. From 2 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct, the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6, and Maggie Dawn coming up at 6 o'clock till 7. Well, Ian, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Jed. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Have yourselves all a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. And please join us again tomorrow, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 to 1230.